RCL Stories, the podcast with Lisa Burke from RCL Group.
Sylviane Lecomte, precisely, is an old lady's name. Exactly. My first name, the last name, the whole thing sounds really traditional. And when you add my last name with my first name, which is kind of not given anymore for a long time, then that's not what is expected. And now I have had situations, including interviews, where I could see people being unsure if I was the right person.
Hello and welcome to RTL Stories, the podcast. I'm Lisa Burke, based here at RTL in Luxembourg. And in this series, we are exploring the lives of extraordinary people who have made RTL their career home, investigating what they do and how they got there. So today I'm joined in the studio by someone who is shaping the future of streaming through innovation, strategy and user experience. Sylviane Lecomte-Camga is the Chief Discovery and Experience Officer at Bedrock, which is the streaming tech company for RTL Group. Her career spans product management, client delivery, and growth leadership. Sylviane has built and led cross-functional teams, turning ideas into impactful solutions, and her work is bridging business with product and technology, and she's here to share her journey, insights, and vision for the future of media tech. So welcome to the show. Welcome here in Luxembourg. Sylviane, it is really great that you made the journey here in person from Paris.
Thank you for having me.
So let's jump right into Bedrock. For those who haven't heard about Bedrock, what is it? What is its role within RTL Group?
So Bedrock was founded from the ambition of having streaming as a major business venture and the understanding that it takes a lot of commitment to be operating at the highest scale and highest level in that industry. So what we do is we run streaming platforms for various RTL entities.
And then we have this phrase, which is quite commonly stated, but not always understood, discovery and experience. And what does that mean in the context of streaming specifically?
For us, discovery and experience is really gathering all the activities that help us understand the core of the problems that we need to tackle, relying on discovery methodologies to make sure that those problems are valuable, that we explore relevant solutions with the right stakeholders around the table, and then we can make sure that we are building the valuable problems.
And then, of course, you're here because you're a leader. But way back before Bedrock, you were part of founding a company from scratch. So a tech company. I'm quite sure with a tech company, as you're founding it, you have to wear many hats, many different experiences. How did that form your leadership skills?
Yeah. We were multiple co-founders together, but still, there is always more work than there are arms. And what it helped me really work on is first, how to convey that vision to other people who on board, who join your adventure, but they did not found that company. So they need to, it needs to resonate with them as well so that they carry on your vision of what you were trying to achieve. So that was really one thing, helping to create bonding and understanding with a mission. The second, yes, you said it. Yeah, we have all those hats and it's to adapt because you cannot just be, this is a moment where it's not about the job description. It's about the problem that is arising and how to solve it yourself, but also potentially others. So you kind of use all the skills that you have under your belt and more to be able to address that on a daily basis.
And of course, you've brought all of that and that skill set to the various leadership roles that you have held and continue to hold at Bedrock. And I can imagine through that experience and just with you and the little I've got to know you, you're somebody who identifies problems, you can see the gaps, and then you figure out how to fill them.
Yes. When I started the first position, I was afraid I would get bored because I was coming out of that adventure once again.
Which is a very honest thing to say.
Yeah. And it was not the contrary because there were so many opportunities, but also room to tackle those opportunities. And when I had myself this evolution to those leadership position, it's a dimension that I kept. So I try to also share this with people and teams that I manage, that we are part of a bigger thing. This thing is the company. And when we see a problem arising, it's also our responsibility to share it either with those who can solve it or to solve it ourselves. And so this is something that I I've been carrying with me and the sharing of, okay, this is where we're going as a company together. And so that people can translate that on their level to carry that.
You've explained very clearly and repeatedly in different ways how to explain the vision of where you're going and the people who have to do that. But you have to create the teams. And I can imagine that is sometimes quite challenging. So talk to us about the team formation, which you did at the startup, you continue to do now, bringing the right people together to share that vision that you described to them in order to execute it.
The team's creation is really one of the biggest but also most rewarding challenge. And yeah, to have a great team, you need to work on trust. So you need to find a way to build rapport, but also them together. You need to have a clear goal and mission and shared understanding of that and clarity around where is our responsibility in that bigger direction that we're going. And for sure, it's challenging. And one of the cases is when you build from scratch, because there you all really have to put values in all of this and energies and empower, because I'm also very keen on empower teams and empower them to influence how this is going to go and how we're going to design that journey. And yes, I was lucky to have that opportunity a few times.
What do you mean empower teams?
An empower team is when people within the team have agency to influence how things are shaped from rituals, operations, decisions. And as a manager, then the role there is more to support them in that agency.
And another thing I would add is just get on with the job. Just get on with it.
It needs to be done.
Get it done. Yes. So you've explained then beautifully some of the team formation, how you've brought those teams together and made them very diverse and given them agency to get it done. The other side of this is the client. It is really client-centric. Innovation always is. And so your team is focusing on customer product strategy and then the delivery of this. So how do you match the client needs with the vision that you're trying to create and then working it backwards to the team to solve that problem?
It really goes back to this understanding of the problem. And I'm one of those annoying person who tends to repeat the same questions. And one of my favorite question is, what is the problem we're trying to solve? Because you need to have a very, very clear and crisp, precise understanding of what is the problem. So that's the first thing. And it's not as easy as it looks, because people do not express necessarily their problems. They tend to express what they think they need. And so one of the first challenges is that. Then it's exploring solutions. And once you have solutions, it's going back to the problem with your solution. Does it actually address it? Because you can fall in love with your solution and kind of lose track of what was I trying to achieve in the first place. So to me, this last step of going back to the start is important. So generally speaking, yeah, working backwards from the problem. And once we have a solution, going back to it to check if it's still answering it.
I think you've explained your engineering mindset perfectly right there, which is exactly your background. You're an engineer by training, and you've just described the process of iteration very beautifully. So then let's go to one of these big projects, which is the Videoland migration project. It was one of the biggest at the time. Talk us through it.
Videoland is an amazing streaming platform in the Netherlands. So it's the second after Netflix. When we were faced with the challenge of migrating those millions of users to the platform, the core problem was how to do it best for the users so that the brand and experience remains as good as possible for them, and how to keep continuing sharing those stories. So what was really foundational is building a team, small but high agency team, a joint team of Bedrock and Videoland, defining how we're going to go forward and making daily decisions about what is the smallest but most valuable thing that we can focus on to make this the best possible. It relied on having a clear goal, so really KPI-based and numbered in terms of direction. So the team, as I said, and those continuous iterations.
I love the fact that you're laughing at yourself when you say numbered KPI, because again, it comes back to your mathematical skills, and you know, an engineer likes a number, and you're always tabulating and figuring out the results and comparing to previous results.
Exactly. If you're talking about feelings, it's difficult to define what is good enough or what is right from wrong. And users, as you also mentioned, ultimately users are the one, it's how we measure that we have reached our goal. So are they still engaged? What are the engagement level? What is the churn? This is how users ultimately express their concern or appreciation of the product.
And then we have another big project, the migration of RTL Plus in Germany to the Bedrock platform. So this is another hefty one.
Yeah, more and more and more. So that one, big and major transformation also for us as a company. This migration will help us grow in so many levels and direction because of the scale of what we manage will immensely grow. RTL Plus are millions of users and households using that product every day. And we need to make sure that for them, this experience is as smooth as possible. And after this, for Bedrock, it will mean that we are a bigger company in terms of the number of streams and all related assets that we manage. So we would be more valuable from an industry perspective and more identifiable from on the European market. The second is the power of the force, because RTL Plus is also currently powered by excellent team. And after this migration, many of us will be together working on those challenges. So it increases the forces working both for RTL Plus and the other assets once again. And the last point that I will highlight is the proposition for users, because RTL Plus is a one-stop entertainment proposition. So you would have not only the standard streaming of video and live, but you also have podcasts, audiobooks, and other types of experience. And from a perspective of our other clients, it means that those capabilities are now sitting into the product as well, and they can grow together for the group.
As VP of Growth and Solutions, you also oversaw everything from pre-sales right the way up to onboarding. But this, again, is focusing on a certain type of client. And so what type of client are you aiming for? How do you get them? How do you hook them? And how long does that process take?
Bedrock is targeting and going after and works best with broadcasters who are really serious about their streaming business and have high ambition. By high ambition is broadcasters who are ultimately aiming to be in the top three propositions of their market. So they want to compete with the best. They are looking at having great quality content, local stories that they want to make shine for their users. And these, usually they have a history. And to get to collaborate with them, it takes a lot of explaining what we do, understanding all these 360 streaming business, because that's a lot of activities to understand, and how is it going to impact them as a company as well. Broadcasting is really going through that transformation, and how to bring value to that content and all those linear activities also in our mobiles and all these different devices.
Well, you're leading us now very perfectly onto technology and trends, and I can't have somebody like you in the studio out asking you about these. So we want your knowledge on the biggest trends in media tech and OTT content that you watch so closely. And you've asked me to explain OTT because you would give us an encyclopedic reply, but my small OTT, standing for over the top, it refers to the delivery of audio, video and other media content, which is directly over the internet, bypassing traditional cable and satellite providers.
If I start from content, biggest trend there is still going to be around fast live streaming. So fast is a linear stream that is built from VOD asset that can be personalized for the user, and also going around a strong IP brand. Then I would go for partnerships. So today in our market, what streaming propositions have to do, they have to find ways to bring even more value to the user. So they look at bundles, they look at different distribution strategies to be able to target more devices, more places where as a user you will be able to discover their great stories. And AI cannot
of course
be ignored. So AI, because it's a transformational technology, it touches like every area of what we do. One area is from a consumer perspective, the way we interact with our applications, the way we define and express potentially through voice what we need, the way we discover content and the precision of what we're looking for with AI, all the way to how content is built from the start, how content metadata are identified, etc. So AI is really a big one. And ROI in there is also a big topic because it's not cheap yet. So we need to experiment and use it progressively in as many relevant areas as possible.
And one of the ways in which you do this in Bedrock is you have a Bedrock lab and you have points of discussion, you have town hall meetings where people can come and throw around and brainstorm together. And I think some innovation has happened here too.
Yes, Bedrock Labs, it's a day, dedicated day, where anyone in the company can actually take part. So it's not limited to product and tech. We've had HR do it as well, for example. And they can come together and around an experiment that they want to run. It can be an R&D, really technical thing, but it can also be experiential tests to do, and forces come together. And we have seen features come out of this that are actually gone live afterwards.
Which is very exciting for all involved. And with AI, do you think that personalization will become more human-like? We have, you know, the voice element of this, voice interactions. We've already had that previously in a different way, but it's becoming very, very close to us almost. How do you feel about this?
What we've seen happen in the last years anyways is that from a manufacturer level, if you look at your TV or your mobile device, you already had voice interactions there. Now it's coming to another level where the conversational is also coming, where it's not just transcript, let's say, of what I said with my voice, but also a voice answer. Mm-hmm. And this, we believe, is likely to have an impact on how some level of user or some segment of users are used to interact with their products. And at some point, streaming is a product that you have in your pocket. And you can imagine that the way you express what you need is also crisper in voice. I don't know if some of us have heard it. It's what you say much more orally than if you had to type it. So it means that the depth that you can go into describing what you want or what you're looking for would be much richer potentially. So it opens the door to those rich interaction where it can be more precise into getting to the core of what you're looking after.
Well, that's why I love podcasts. Well, moving back to you, you've described yourself in words as somebody who thrives, this is on LinkedIn, thrives in fast-paced international environments. And so again, anybody, a young person looking to you and your journey, or anybody listening or watching to this interview, they're always curious to know what personal qualities you feel are important in order to succeed and to rise as you have, which is why you are here today.
I would start with curiosity and openness. Obviously, it depends from your starting point. But if I go back to younger years and not knowing necessarily what I wanted to do, I was one of those people who knew what I did not want to do, but not what I wanted. And so I had to experiment and be open and have confidence that, okay, after this one, it will be clearer and maybe for the rest. And it did happen that way. So I would say really this curiosity, openness, and I have to add action, because just going back to what I was saying right here, sometimes we have this trap of waiting for clarity. And clarity sometimes comes from acting first, because then you can move on to the next and the next. So,
which is again the engineering iteration. You start one step and you see which direction it goes, and you realign, and you realign, and you realign.
Exactly.
So it held you in good stead when you did that engineering degree, and we're so grateful for that too. Now, just finally to wrap up, your name is a beautiful name. You've told me it is an old lady's name in France. So with your glorious background, all that you've achieved, and your name, do people expect you to turn up?
Nope, they don't. Sylviane Lecomte, precisely, is an old lady's name. Exactly. My first name, the last name, the whole thing sounds really traditional. And when you add my last name with my first name, which is kind of not given anymore for a long time, then that's not what is expected. And now I have had situations, including interviews, where I could see people being unsure if I was the right person. But once it's cleared out, it's all good.
Well, Sylviane, with your beautiful old-fashioned name, which is a thing of beauty and rarity, thank you for your time. Thank you for making the journey from Paris to Luxembourg. And I know that you will have given so many people wonderful advice in this interview and a lot of inspiration as well to follow your path. Good luck with all of the big projects ahead.
Thank you.
And for anybody listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of these stories for RTL Group. You can give us your feedback always in the comments section, and hopefully you can link in with us as well on LinkedIn and various other social media platforms. Just search for RTL Group there on LinkedIn, Instagram and YouTube. And with that, take care.